This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
You know, a couple of years ago, came across an interesting quote from a Muslim imam who was part of ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, and he made the statement that before 1972, every Muslim who came to North America fell away from the faith. Pretty radical statement. But it was an understanding that if you were going to be part of the Muslim Ummah, if you were going to be integrated in the fabric, in the relational reality of Islam, you had to be part of an organization of Muslims. And because there were none really existing at that time, he considered that a lone ranger Muslim was an oxymoron. Impossible to be a lone ranger Muslim. And I think that's also true of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's impossible to be a lone ranger Christian. You have to not only be part of the body of Christ, but you need to love that Christ and that body in many of the ways that Jeff Philpott has showed it to us in describing his bride on their wedding day. That same kind of joy, that same kind of love, that same kind of discipline that Dave Gentino helped us to understand in the accountability of the liturgy of confession. And then I love Cheryl's little analogy at the end, a football team. Yeah, it's a team sport, isn't it, the church? You can't play football alone, at least not and win. So what can we reflect on? You know, I've been involved in church planting and in churches, and it's really been the greatest privilege of my life to do that in three different continents and four different languages, and seeing churches with all kinds of different structures, sometimes house churches, sometimes little underground groups in Muslim areas, sometimes larger churches, sometimes, well, went to my son's church in Västerås, Sweden, and you know you got to really sort of prepare yourself when you're going through the door and you have gray hair and the lady at the door says, "Would you like some earplugs?" That helps you to realize what you're about to experience. Yeah, the church comes in all shapes and sizes and all types. And that's really been the center of my life these past 43 years that I've been a follower of Jesus. My first church experience actually was a church plant. I had just become a new believer in Jesus, and there was this church that got started, and I was there for its very first service. We met in the gymnasium of a defunct girls' school, and it became College Church, which was my home church until I came down here to be at CIU. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to be part of the bride of Christ in global perspective. And I'm going back to my earliest days because I want to take you to a scripture passage that was very meaningful to me as a new believer. It's one that got taught on a lot in that little church plant as it was trying to get started and running. And my reading of this passage was a little bit different then than it is today. Can you all see that? Is that big enough for you to see? Would you all stand? Stand up. We can do that too when we're reading the Word. And let's read this passage together, and then I want to introduce you to a little bit of the change that's come in my thinking about this passage. Read it with me, will you? "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues." 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 10. You may be seated. Now, I'm not going to go through this very much, but it really did grab me when I first heard this passage as a new believer. And my focus was kind of like, wow, I wonder what my role is going to be. You know, what kind of gifting is God giving me so that I can be involved in this new thing, this Christian life? And boy, I was just so excited about that and praying and seeking the Lord. What would you have me do? And how should I serve? And that kind of thing. And, you know, I'm a child of my culture. And I was raised a freaked out individualist. And I belong to a culture in America that is the most freaked out individualist culture that has ever existed in world history. And I'll argue that with anyone, if you'd like, from historical example. And so it's kind of natural when a Western American Christian reads this passage, we kind of get focused on all the fun things we can do and all the excitement, and we kind of miss something. So turn to the next slide, and I want you to see that thing in the red text there. Would you stand again? Let's read just that one sentence again, because that's really the focus here, okay? It says this, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Now, man, you may be seated. I kind of guarantee you didn't notice that when you were reading. Am I right? Did you kind of notice more all that stuff about this gift and that gift and this thing and that thing? And, well, of course, there are a lot of things to recite, so maybe it was a little hard to pay any attention to it all. But for the common good. The church is about the common good. And so if we go on in this passage, let's go to the next slide, just the first two sections. Paul begins to talk about the nature of the body of Christ. Just bring up the first two, not the last picture. We'll pull that up last. Okay. And here's what he said. I won't make you get up on this one. I'll just read it for you. He goes on from verse 12 through 15 to say this. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And in fact, if you didn't have it, you'd really have a hard time, wouldn't you?" I got an illustration about how hard it can be for a body to be missing a limb through a movie I saw not too long ago. It's about a young Christian girl who was a surfer. And she got attacked by a shark while she was surfing one day. And she lost an arm. And if you want to bring up that last picture, they made a movie about her. She's really quite a remarkable girl. But there's a very poignant scene in that movie. It's after the attack, and she's come home after the injury, and she's trying to help out with the chores in the kitchen. And she says, "Mom, can I do something?" And Mom says, "Well, just cut up the grapefruits." Well, she grabs one of the grapefruits, and she puts it on the table, and she takes the knife, and then something's missing. Can't, you know, and suddenly, for us who are watching the movie, we realize just how crippled she really is. Have you ever tried to cut a grapefruit with one hand? Really difficult. And I think of how crippled the church is and how crippled individual Christians can be when they're not part of His body as we were meant to be. Yes, every church has problems. If I could walk you through the eight different church plants that I've been involved in, three different languages, I could tell you horror stories from every single one. Who cares? That's just the reality. We're sinners. And whenever you gather a group of sinners, in fact, you don't even have to gather them as a group. You can be all by yourself and sin quite adequately. But pull us together as groups and you're going to have problems. If you go out from CIU expecting to have some kind of wonderful, perfect experience in the church, you are going to be disappointed over and over and over again. The deep conviction of your life must be, I'm here to serve Jesus, and I must be an integrated, integral, connected member of His body if I'm going to minister effectively for Him. Let me just conclude with three individuals. We talked about loving Christ and His church. These are three special individuals to me, John Tarswell, Haikov Sepian, and Dr. Goni. Dr. Goni, these are all personal friends, not necessarily close friends. Tarswell was a really close friend. Haikov Sepian, I just met a couple of times, knew him a little bit. And Dr. Goni, I knew from my time doing church planting in Bangladesh. You know what they all have in common, these friends of mine? All three of them loved the Church of Jesus Christ, loved the Bride of Christ with all their hearts. And they gave proof of that love because each one of them died as a martyr for their faith in Jesus. John Tarswell protected some believers who were under threat of death from the antecedents to the Taliban, and he hid them in his home for a time until the Underground Railroad could get them out. But he was spotted in this process, kidnapped, and about 51 days after being kidnapped, he was machine-gunned to death and left in an unmarked grave. We do not know where his body lies. That was about the same time his third child was born. His wife did not find out for 7 years what happened to him. How much he loved the Church of Jesus Christ and was willing to die for it. Haikov Sepian, he and the other pastors in Iran knew that they were all going to be murdered because a number had been killed, and the Iranian government had come up with a very clever way of bumping off the Christians so they wouldn't come under heat from the media. They'd just make it look like it was a robbery, you know, a mugging or something like that. And one of my friends who was with Haik shortly before he was killed remembers how they were joking together, "How long do you think it will be before it's our turn?" And every man in that room, except for this one friend, had that turn eventually. Haik was used of the Lord in bringing many Muslims to Christ. And he paid for his love for the church with his own blood. Oh yes, he was mugged by the Iranian government. And Dr. Goni, good friend, doing church planting in his 50s. He's planted numerous churches all across the northern part of Bangladesh. Coming home from his clinic one night, the activists from Shabir, the Muslim Brotherhood's youth league, came and stabbed him to death. As I was in Bangladesh this past December, I had a chance to meet with those who gave me the full details of his martyrdom. These are people who love the church, were ready to give their lives for it. Are you ready to give your life for the Church of Christ, His bride?
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.